7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, the radio home for every single Warriors playoff game. Good morning. It is great to have you in. For those who feel this way, happy holidays. The NFL draft is upon us. And with that in mind, we turn our attention to 12-year NFL veteran. He's a terrific analyst with the NFL Network, Brian Baldinger, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Brian, as always, it's a pleasure. Thank you for your time. Let's jump right into it with the top of the draft. It feels like there's more uncertainty with the first few picks this year than there has been in quite some time. Gut instinct, what do you think the Browns are thinking at number one?
Well, I think they're thinking quarterback with the first pick. And, you know, it's not the same old Browns now that have been picking over the last few years. John Dorsey is running the draft. And, you know, I don't think there's any leaks out of there. I mean, he's kind of addressed that all the quarterbacks are in play. He hasn't revealed his hands, but my guess is it's going to be Sam Darnold at the top of this draft. And, you know, if you really looked at before the last year began, you probably thought Sam Darnold was going to be the first pick of the draft. And then you can look at turnovers early in the year against some games and even the final game against Ohio State in the bowl game. There were some turnovers there. And I just think even with that, I think they feel like that's a safe pick, a good pick, and a guy that they can start building around.
Brian, we were talking about Saquon Barkley before you joined us and the idea of him being a top five pick or maybe going number four to Cleveland when they make their second selection. What do you think of taking a running back that high in the draft as it pertains to long-term viability?
Well, I mean, look, if you're a great player, it doesn't matter really where you get taken. If you're a great player, you're going to be going to multiple Pro Bowls. I mean, whether you go one, two, three, four, it doesn't really make any difference. If you feel that way about Saquon. You know, I think there's some things there that go, I don't know. He doesn't look as safe as Ezekiel Elliott did to me 2 years ago. But then we've seen off-the-field issues with Zeke that was taking him off the field. You don't have any of those issues with Saquon, but I don't think he's as powerful as Ezekiel Elliott. I don't think he's moves the sticks quite like he does. And I don't know if that he's the home run hitter that we've seen Ezekiel Elliott be. So it just depends on your analysis of what you think, because everything is a projection. The college game is so different than the NFL game. But if you feel like he's going to be going to lead the league in rushing and going to be a multiple Pro Bowl player, then whatever pick you choose him with is the right one.
How much do you traffic in the rumors before draft day? I mean, it is the lying season. So
yeah.
About 97% of everything you hear has been planted as a falsehood by somebody. How do you avoid all those traps so that you can analyze the draft in a rational way that doesn't make you feel like you got used a bunch of times?
Well, I mean, you got to put the work in, and you got to make your evaluations. I mean, if you're going to listen to what other people are saying and listen for that kind of information, first of all, I don't know any general manager. I live in Philadelphia. Howie Roseman, Joe Douglas, running the Eagles. I mean, there's no leaks in that building. Nobody's leaking anything out. You can surmise that they may like this player because they brought him in for a workout, went to see him. You can try to connect dots like that. But nobody in Philadelphia, Ozzie Newsome, isn't saying anything about what he might do in Baltimore. They may put things out there because they want to kind of find out. Every team should do their own reconnaissance about what other teams are going to do. I mean, for example, last year, Kansas City traded from number 27 in the draft to number 10, one spot in front of the Saints, because they had pretty good information that the Saints were going to take Patrick Mahomes. And they were. So they had to get in front of them to get to 10 so that they could get him. So it behooves these other teams to know as much about the other teams as possible. Now, if some of that stuff gets leaked out, it does, but I don't know how much you can. It's so much stuff to filter. To me, he's got to go back and just do your work and concentrate on your board and know what you like.
Brian Baldinger joining us here on 95.7 The Game. If you were John Lynch in the 49er war room today, how would you be handling the information that surfaced yesterday? Reuben Foster, the former girlfriend, through her attorney says she lied, she made up the story, she was actually involved in a fight with another woman, and that she was trashing Foster's career because he was, quote, threatening to break up with her. Do you still target a linebacker like Roquan Smith in this draft? How do you handle this if you're the 49ers?
Well, you keep digging. You try, digging for the truth. Because if that story is true, then Reuben Foster has been framed, and he's going to be – I mean, last year, you talked to John Lynch, you talked to 49ers. They got Jimmy Garoppolo, the quarterback of the offense. But from day one, Reuben Foster was the leader of that defense, basically the leader of the team. His voice traveled. So if you can find that information out for certain before tonight, then maybe you don't, you know, you don't have to draft Tremaine Edmonds or, you know, Roquan Smith to be your middle linebacker. Because if the story isn't, I mean, look, if Reuben Foster doesn't play, they need a middle linebacker. And they've got three good ones in this draft. So they're hard to find. So if you're John Lynch, I mean, you're on the phones and you're having your investigator, your security, can you're doing everything you can to basically vet that story out.
And hopefully they can have it vetted out more thoroughly before the draft actually comes. One pick after the Niners is the Raiders, and some thought about possibly Mike McGlinchey from Notre Dame, the offensive lineman. What's your impression of the impact he made in college and how he might fit in the NFL scheme?
Well, there's some people that don't think he could be the left tackle in the NFL, but I do believe he can. I've seen tremendous growth between his junior year or senior year. He's a Penn Charter kid right here in Philadelphia. He's a cousin of Matt Ryan. He's been around the game his whole life. He's a great kid. And at 6'8", I mean, there's not many 6'8" tackles out there that can bend like he does, that he really can protect the edge like he can. I think he's worthy of a first-round pick. Now, some people might say number 10 is too high, but I have to think that he's a really good player. I think he's the best tackle in this draft. So if you feel like that's a big position of need, and I don't know how John Gruden or Mr. McKenzie is looking at it right now, but, I mean, he's a guy that you definitely – have to have in the conversation as you try to kind of build this team and protect your quarterback, because that's really what it's about. If I'm John Gruden in this draft, you've identified Derek Carr as your quarterback. You've paid him to be the star quarterback, the franchise guy. Now give him every possible thing you can to make him successful. Weapons, offensive line, everything you can to give Derek Carr the best chance to be successful. And if that means, you know, plucking Mike McGlinchey with your first pick, I don't think it's a bad pick.
12-year NFL veteran, now a terrific analyst with the NFL Network, Brian Baldinger, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Great stuff as always, Baldy. Thank you so much for your time. Enjoy the draft tonight.
I sure will, and you too. Do the same.
Thanks, Baldy. All right, so the downside to McGlinchey to the Raiders at 10, my opinion, twofold. Number one, he stands 6'8". Which can be a huge advantage, but he only weighs 309 pounds. One of the knocks on him is that he needs to add some strength and he needs to add some size. So early in his career, notably year one next year if you throw him out there, could get pushed around a little bit. Just something to keep in the back of your mind. Number two, by taking a guy like Mike McGlinchey with the 10th overall pick, you are also foregoing a defensive pick. And this is a team that in each of the last 5 years has ranked 22nd or worse in total defense. Just something to keep in mind. Now, maybe the addition of Paul Gunther, maybe the arrival of Garyon Conley could improve that defense. But you can't help but remember what you've seen the last few years and think this unit could use a bit of an upgrade.
I think this would be an indication of just what they think of their personnel. If Gunther and John Gruden look at the defensive personnel and think they're good enough, they can be coached up, maybe you don't need to use the first round pick on a defensive player, because you know you need a tackle for Donald Penn eventually, and you've got an offensive line that is becoming more veteran as the season opens. So you look at Gruden and you want to pick an offensive player. If your defense is already needing to be improved and can be improved, then maybe you go the other direction.
Penn, with 2 years left on the deal, this year his cap hit is $8.3 million. Next year it'll be $10.3 million. I mean, we've said it time and time again, if you've got the franchise quarterback, the first thing you do after that is protect him. Get the quarterback, protect the quarterback, rush the quarterback. That's the order. You've already got Khalil Mack. You've already got Derek Carr. McGlinchey would make some sense. In addition, it's cost-controlled sense. You'd have an offensive tackle at 5 years making what, maybe $5 million or less a year at pick number 10? That's a great value at that position.
That only makes sense if you believe that McGlinchey can get bigger and stronger and be coached up and all those things. Otherwise, the money doesn't matter because you've made a bad pick. And ultimately, when you start fixating on the money, and I know you have to in a salary cap sport like football, you're losing sight of the fact that if that's an important position, you can't waste a lot of energy on a guy that you don't like a lot. I mean, if they can't get the tackle in the draft, if this is a poor draft for tackles, then you might be screwed because, they don't have a lot of cap room. Free agency is, pretty much done.
It's an expensive position in free agency, yeah. especially next year if that's how they plan on addressing it.
The thing you have to weigh with McGlinchey is are you just basically inheriting a future problem? And I don't mean to say that he's not a good player, but if it's that vital a position, a good player isn't good enough. You have to have a really good player.
And we saw the Niners maybe squander a pick on Joshua Garnett last year or the year before, and he hasn't really materialized, so.
I mean, sometimes your need doesn't fit the draft you're in. I mean, the Warriors, the year that they took Joe Smith first, was a terrible draft.
Why, Ray?
Shout out Joe Smith. Shout out University of Maryland.
Yeah, but we don't have to shout him out.
Wide receiver from Maryland.
But it was a lousy draft year. It was a bad year to have number one.
Here's what we're going to do.
So what do? You have to take somebody. They're not going to let you pass. You take the best guy you can and hope for it. And Joe Smith ended up having a nice career, but he wasn't a difference maker. And so you end up, getting mocked for that when what was your choice? Somebody who wasn't as good as Joe Smith.
A lot of what happens at 10 or what's available at 10 is going to be based on what the Niners do at 9. What do the Niners do at 9, given the news that surfaced yesterday regarding Reuben Foster? You want to weigh in? We'll open it up to you. 888-957-9570. It's Joe Dibbs and Ray Ratto here on 95.7 The Game.
The 2018 draft is fast approaching.
With the 9th pick.
And 95.7 The Game has wall-to-wall coverage from San Francisco to Oakland.
With the 10th pick.
Join Greg Papa, Joe Fortenbaugh, Damon Bruce, and your favorite 95.7 The Game hosts today. As we broadcast our 2018 draft special live from Schroeder's German Beer Hall in the heart of downtown San Francisco. Coverage starts at noon with Papa and Vonte. It's the 2018 Draft Special, brought to you by Svedka Vodka and the Bay Area's football station, 95.7. The Game.
Hey, Sprint Turn, what are you up to?
Hey, Paul, showing you the unrivaled iPhone X, and you know what I can do with it?
No, what?
I can unlock it with my face. They call it Face ID. Check it out.
Wow, do you have to make that face when you unlock it?
No, but it's way more fun this way.
Okay. Yeah. We'll go with that.
Get the unrivaled iPhone X now for just $20 a month. That's 50% off from Sprint. Visit a Sprint store, sprint.com/iPhone, or call 1-800-SPRINT-1 today.
Requires 18-month leases for well-qualified customers. Early termination results in remaining balance due. Excludes tax, credit applied within two bills. iPhone 10, 64GB, $20 a month after $21.67 a month credit. Coverage and offer not everywhere, subject to credit and $30 activation fee. Restrictions apply.
We've retired and love to drive to the mountains, so we decided to trade for a small SUV. But we needed low payments with no money down because of fixed income and, unfortunately, not on fixed spending. Thanks, Paul Blanco.
Paul Blanco's Good Car Company has your pre-owned small SUV for under $14,000. Plus, no credit hassle rates. We'll even defer your down payment. Toyota, Hyundai, and Kia under $12,000. Yukon and Tahoe's under $18,000. Apply now at paulblanco.com.
On approved credit.
In a business like yours, things move fast. Every minute is precious. And when you have to hire a new employee, you can't afford to stop what you're doing. You need an efficient way to get to a short list of qualified candidates fast. That's why you need Indeed.com, used by over 3 million businesses. Daryl is hired with Indeed.
This site saves me a lot of time. It makes my job so much easier.
Post a job in minutes. Set up screener questions based on your job requirements. Then zero in on qualified candidates using our intuitive online dashboard.
I've used other websites in the past for hiring. Nothing has been this easy, this simple, and this effective.
And when you need to hire fast, accelerate your results with sponsored jobs by getting more exposure to relevant job seekers. New users can try for free at Indeed.com/offer. Your time is precious. Let Indeed help you get to your short list of qualified candidates. Get started today at Indeed.com/offer. Search for greatness. Search Indeed. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Hi, it's Emil Bain, General Manager at Hanley's Hilltop Buick GMC. Our year-end inventory reduction sale is starting right now. Go online and check out the outrageous incentives on all new Buick or GMC vehicles. Come take a ride and meet our certified and friendly staff ready to assist you and get your savings started today. We're easy to get to by the Hilltop Mall right off 80 or online at hanleyshilltopbuickgmc.com. That's hanleyshilltopbuickgmc.com. Take part in the outrageous savings today. Drive off in your new vehicle and join the Hanley's family. GMC, we are professional grade.
And now, Super Money with Jason Brooks, sponsored by Super Micro, keeping IT green.
Golfers are gearing up for another season on the links, and who doesn't need a little extra tech help in shaving a few strokes off their game? Smartwatches could do a lot, but Garmin's designed its first golf-centric smartwatch, the Approach X10, retailing for $200. The X10 doesn't allow text and email alert distractions and has a touchscreen display showing distances to the green from several angles, as well as hazards. It's often said that putting is the hardest part of golf, and Golf Logics hopes to help with its putt break maps, offering 5,000 charted courses on its app at an annual subscription of $50. And in a departure from the traditional golf cart, Fat Scooter's Fatty HD and Sport HD riders come with rechargeable electric batteries, have front and rear wheel suspensions, and top out at 20 miles per hour.
Super Money is sponsored by Super Micro, a Fortune 1000 company. Super Micro, founded and headquartered in Silicon Valley, is the third largest global supplier of server and storage systems. Designed and built in San Jose, California, Super Micro provides the largest portfolio of application-optimized systems for enterprise, cloud, artificial intelligence, and IoT. Super Micro's Ultra, Big Twin, and Super Blade solutions based on Intel Xeon scalable processors are optimized for maximum environmentally efficient green computing performance. Learn more at supermicro.com.
The 2018 Mercedes-Benz CLA with its turbocharged engine and exceptional price go from 0 to 60 in less time and for less money than you'd expect. Visit MBUSA.com or your Bay Area Mercedes-Benz dealers to schedule your test drive today.
95.7 The Game, trending now.
It's draft day. I'm Annika Gadakis. The 2018 NFL Draft gets underway later today. The 49ers will pick 9th in the first round, while the Raiders will select 10th. The Browns hold the first overall pick. We will be live from Schroeder starting at noon, and the draft show will start at 4 p.m. with Papa, Joe, and Damon. How will these three personalities mesh? Well, Greg Papa will join the show this morning at 8:30. The former girlfriend of 49ers linebacker Reuben Foster has recanted her domestic violence claim, saying she lied about the allegations and the injuries were the result of a physical fight with another woman. Warriors will face the Pelicans in Game 1 of the Western Conference semifinals starting this Saturday at 7:30. Listen to all Warrior games right here on 95.7 The Game, and all Warrior playoff games are powered by Great Clips. And the Sharks and Golden Knights open the second round of the playoffs today in Las Vegas. I'm Annika Gudaikis, and the A's don't get the sweep, but they take 2 of 3 from the Rangers. I'm Annika Gudaikis, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome to the Money Spot. One consecutive hour of commercial-free art for you, the listening audience, because we love you and because today is a big, big day. It's Joe Fortenbaugh. It's Dan Dibley. It's Ray Ratto, who, what do we do about the fact that Ratto's not in his seat right now?
Well, I thought initially that maybe he finally walked us off and he got fed up with all of our nonsense, but his Whalers hat is here. He wouldn't leave his Hartford Whalers hat, so I don't think he's vacated the building.
Ratto is back. Welcome back to the studio, Ratto. It's great to have you here today. I have enjoyed working with you all week, I am being honest.
Liar.
I do like the Whalers hat, though. That is a nice touch.
Why, you're not getting it.
He keeps it old school.
I wasn't implying that I was going to steal your old hat.
I was implying you were going to steal my old hat.
That's the only reason why I knew that he hadn't left us in the lurch, because he would not leave his beloved Hartford Whalers hat. He just wouldn't. And I know that. He'd leave his computer.
I had a brief vehicular thing to deal with, so calm down.
Nice. Welcome back.
Welcome back. It's great to have you.
There's a dead vagrant in the trunk.
Nice.
Here is where we are at. Today, at noon, Our draft coverage will start live from Schroeder's in the city, California Street and Front Street. Come on out, hang with us. We're going to be there all day. It's going to be Papa and Bonte holding it down from 12 to 3. Damon Bruce is going to hold it down 3 to 4. And then it's going to be Damon, Papa, and myself, Bonte as well, there till about 7 o'clock. Not enough microphones.
No,
I'll throw that out there. There's just not enough bandwidth for all those opinions to get out there.
Well, that's why there will only be one from 12 to 3.
That's right, Ray. I'll hold it down.
4 years now doing the draft show with Papa. 4 years. Last year, towards the end, I believe because there was an A's game, we went to the stream, which means no commercials. So we actually had to just talk for 2 straight hours without any commercials. And that was after 3 hours of pre-coverage, as well as a four-hour morning show.
I'm sure you guys handled it just fine without nary an inhale or an exhale.
After the sixth beer went down, everything was pretty solid at that point. We were really just throwing everything up against the wall. But here's where we stand right now. Today was supposed to be a day about what the Niners are going to be doing at 9, what the Raiders are going to do at 10, and are the Browns really going to take Baker Mayfield number one overall? If you caught us at 6 a.m., we opened the show with this. Hint, hint, Baker Mayfield to the Browns at 1 is 5-1 on the betting market. As we stand right now, even money. Even money. The sense around the NFL, if you're following any of this on social media, maybe it's a smokescreen, maybe it's not, but the sense is that Baker Mayfield, Oklahoma quarterback, will be going number one overall to Cleveland. Stick here, 95.7 The Game, we'll have all the updates for you throughout the day. But the big story, as it pertains to us locally, is what happened yesterday in Santa Clara. The story from Matt Barrows, who's going to join us at 9.05, Matt Mayoko as well. The lawyer for Alyssa Enos, 28 years old, the former girlfriend of Reuben Foster, came out yesterday and said, my client, Reuben's former girlfriend, lied. Turns out she was in a fight with another woman. That's where she sustained the injuries that she encountered. And because she was upset Reuben was going to break up with her, she threatened to trash his career. Think about that. The night before the draft, this is the story that comes up. Now, Reuben is facing 3 felony charges. 1, domestic violence with great bodily injury. That could be dropped. 2, forcefully attempting to prevent a victim from reporting a crime. That could end up being dropped. But 3, possession of an assault weapon. I don't know if he can avoid that one. Either way, this appears to be good news for Reuben Foster. The question that a lot of fans want to know is whether or not, and I'm not sure if it's fair to bring this up, but it has to be mentioned, whether or not she was paid off. The timing of this whole thing, Dibs, seems very suspicious.
It's more than curious. Yeah, Joe, the timing of it, considering the incident happened weeks, if not months ago, and yet the story that she told then is different than the story she's telling now on the eve of the draft. Either she's been trying for weeks and months to recant this, which reportedly she tried to recant it initially, but she didn't talk about any video that was reportedly out there which would exonerate him, potentially exonerate him. Ray, you were right earlier to say that two things can be equally true. She could have been involved in a fight, and Reuben Foster could have physically harmed her. Those things are not mutually exclusive. So it is curious the timing of this, and you wonder what happens Monday when he goes back to court if the charges are still pursued.
Ray, this appears to be very good news for Reuben Foster.
Well, it appears to be good news if you're just talking about whether he can be put in the system. I don't know necessarily that it's good news for his name, because I think there will always be that element of doubt/suspicion about whether she did, you know, get paid off by somebody. You know, and it doesn't have to be him. I'm not even speculating.
Could be Michael Cohen.
Point is, no. Yeah, it absolutely could be.
Well played. No, he's pleading the fifth, by the way. I saw that on TV.
Yeah, of course
that's
he is.
A shocking upset there.
I mean, the point is, people will always remember this incident because I don't know how many people are convinced by her story. So in terms of whether he's cleared his name, unless this tape is absolutely dispositive and a doctor can come up, or the doctor that examined her and said, oh yeah, this video matches what we saw in the emergency room. If you can do that, then yeah, he'll be exonerated. But short of that, that's always going to be a suspicion. But in terms of his employment with the 49ers, if they don't press charges, that's all they need to know. And that's all they want to know. They're going to go, well, he's not in trouble. We're keeping him.
The girlfriend's attorney, who released this statement yesterday, Stephanie Ricard, she said that Enos wanted to recant a while ago, but the DA filed the charges anyway. Why do you think the district attorney in Santa Clara would file the charges anyway if the key witness here says, I want to recant the story, I was lying?
Because there is a long history of abused women who suddenly get cold feet because they're afraid of the future, or they're afraid if they press charges, her assailant will come back with a greater vengeance. I mean, there are, I don't pretend to know, you know, the psychology of battered women, but from everything I've read, that is always a fear, or a fear that you'll end up with, you know, no way to support yourself if you've, you know, married or become attached to somebody rich. I mean, there are a lot of very frightful and unknown things out there. And so I think that's very much a possibility as well.
For the female perspective, how did all this land with you?
Dan, what did you think?
Well played.
I will say two things on this. One, I do question whether or not she was paid off. I am also trying to look at it from the perspective as a mother of two boys. You know, there are some crazy women out there that have, who may do something like this because they want them to stay together. But the video should be able to prove, I think, that whether or not he did it. And I'm hoping that we could see, like Ray was saying, you have a doctor look at it and say, okay, this matches this video. And if it doesn't, then it's got to be clear, because for a man of, you know, his magnitude, how big he is, to beat, the allegations were that he beat her 8 to 10 times in the head and ruptured an eardrum. You should be able to tell the difference between a man and a woman and what the injuries look like. And so I'm really hoping that they can figure this all out. It is interesting how you have guys like Richard Sherman who came out to support him in court that one day. I'm still questioning it. I've had people saying, are you going to apologize for what you said about having him being cut? No, I'm not apologizing yet, because right now I'm still questioning whether or not she was paid off.
Still waiting for all the evidence. Yeah. Completely understandable. I wonder how the Niners and specifically John Lynch and the decision makers see this, because they've done extensive interviews with Arden Key. Arden Key is a defensive end pass rusher prospect out of LSU. Arden Key is plummeting down draft boards for a variety of reasons. Laziness, came in the last season with a whole bunch of extra weight on, taking plays off, and notably some potential off-the-field issues that could raise a flag that maybe this is another problem. If you just went through all of this with Reuben Foster, and you got, what, 8 games out of it because you still have the injury risk, do you really want to dip your toes right back into the water with the guys who are the character concerns? It doesn't look good when you're out there talking about zero tolerance and character, then you draft these guys, then this stuff blows up in your face. Because whether or not Reuben did what's being alleged or did not do what was alleged, it's still something you have to answer. Like, John Lynch does not want to wake up in the morning and have to deal with this. John Lynch probably wants to look at his board today, make some phone calls, talk to reporters, talk to his scouts, talk to Kyle, talk to Jed, talk to other GMs, see what's going on, and get organized for today's tasks. He probably doesn't want to have to answer more Reuben Foster questions, Dibs.
No, you're right, and that's why I think they would stay away from Arden Key. And ultimately, you're looking for the best football player you can find, but you're an organization whose owner said he wants to win with class. And part of winning with class is...
forgot about that. Remember those days?
Yeah, and part of that is not leading the league in arrests. Since 2011, I believe, they've had the most players arrested. It's interesting you bring up John Lynch, because when you look back at his statement in light of what has happened overnight with Reuben Foster and his alleged accuser, John Lynch's statement said, if he is proven to have hit this woman, then he will not be a part of this organization. That statement comes out just a few days this later shoe drops. So when you look at that statement now, you think, if this goes the way it appears to be going and she doesn't press charges and maybe the DA is unable to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that he in fact hit her, then they have their out automatically.
And taking that one step further, if you're behind the scenes working all these angles, who's focusing on the draft? Who is focusing on the roster? That's a concern, because right now all the attention should be paid into every possible scenario that could play out for you at 9.
Okay, that's what he's doing. All right, they've compartmentalized this. All right, they can do multiple tasks. And worrying about Reuben Foster today is going to cover very little of what they do. We think what we talk about is what they talk about, and it's usually not the case. They're neck deep in the draft because they were going to be neck deep in the draft. And the only thing that's changed in the Reuben Foster case is a claim by the victim that she lied that we heard about. We've known that she's wanted to recant in the past. That's the dog we're chasing. They're not chasing that dog. They'll find out what they need to know on Monday, which is this guy going to have to go to trial or not? And by Monday, they will have already done their draft. So they've prioritized what is most important to them, which is the task in front of them. And they're doing that. This is by no means a thing that is weighing heavy on his soul today.
Do you think it's having an effect on what they're considering at 9? For example, Roquan Smith, linebacker, Georgia, one of the best athletes, one of the best football players in this draft class, not just for the 49ers, but the entirety of the draft class, he is one of the best prospects out there. Do you think maybe they like him a little bit less today because the possibility exists now that Foster may not be as suspended as long as previously thought?
I think they would have needed a linebacker anyway. I honestly don't believe that unless they knew before the draft today that Reuben Foster was no longer available to them ever, that they would do just what they're going to do anyway. If they like Roquan Smith, they'll take him. If Reuben Foster's on the team, if he's not on the team, because you need more than one linebacker. So, no, I don't think this is a take one out of the socket, put another one in the socket.
Dibs, your thoughts?
I think you're right, because you're in a situation for the 49ers where you're looking at best available outside of a quarterback. Pretty much any other position, you're going to take the best available guy. If Quentin Nelson's there or Minkah Fitzpatrick, Denzel Ward, any of these guys who could fall into the bottom of that top 10, you're going to take the best available. And I think Ray's right about the compartmentalization of the 49ers, because the victim or alleged victim wanted to recant weeks ago, and I'm sure the team knew about that. And the team certainly was aware that this would probably go the way it's going. And that's why John Lynch was able to make the statement he made and kind of put that in the terms that he put it, knowing that before the draft, this news about her, you know, officially going there and recanting her story and telling the police that she lied, they were, I'm sure, aware that this was all going to play out the way it has.
888-957-9570. In light of the latest news regarding Reuben Foster, how do you feel about the situation in general? Do you still want to see the Niners draft a linebacker? Are you more confident in Reuben's prospects for the future than you were prior to yesterday's news? 888-957-9570. We begin with Vic in Fremont. Good morning, Vic. Your thoughts?
Hey, I think it's a hush money thing, you know, based on what came out yesterday. It just seems very fishy that all of a sudden she's blaming it on the girlfriend and, you know, he's trying to be free about it. So I think he's free. I don't think he did it. So I think they're trying to just pay her off. Thanks.
Appreciate the phone call. A lot of people have that theory that somehow this has all been concocted behind the scenes. Essentially, look, this guy doesn't want to ruin his NFL career. There's a lot of money at stake. You're clearly upset with him. What's it going to take for you to say exactly this? Let's get the organization on board. Here's how we're going to execute this plan. And this is how we're going to make this go away in the easiest possible fashion.
Okay. To the caller's assertion that she got paid off, speculative, but possible.
True.
But why would you pay her off if you know you're innocent? You pay her off if you're guilty because you don't want it to go to trial at all. You don't pay her off if you can show I didn't do this.
What if you didn't do it, but you can't prove you didn't do it?
Well, it's still a very difficult prosecution, and it's a very low conviction rate. So, you know, you're better off going to if you didn't do it, but you don't think you can prove it, then it becomes a reputation issue. Do I want to go through this and have this go on forever and ever again, whether I'm acquitted or not? If you didn't do it, I see less motivation to pay her off than if I did do it. That's just the logic I approach it with.
Yeah. Completely true. Completely true. You'd be less inclined had you not done it than if you were guilty. But at the same time, history is littered with examples of people paying people off even if they didn't do anything wrong. Major corporations don't want to go to trial. It costs too much money. They'd rather just pay people off in a lot of instances just to make it go away.
Or they did it, but they're, you know, but they think they can get off, but they're worried about other things that could come out in discovery that are way worse than the thing they're doing. You know, there are a lot of reasons to do this. There are a lot of reasons not to. But at its base, if this is just a, I want to prove I didn't do it, you don't pay her off because you want to go to court. If you did do it, that's when you pay them off.
And it's interesting you say that because you can pay her off, and let's just take that as an assumption that that's what happened. The district attorney can still go forward and press charges based on other pieces of evidence, whether it's the 911 call or the account from the passerby who helped the alleged victim. So the payoff may not fully get you out of trouble.
Unless you have an eyewitness that saw the beating, if that can show that he or she saw Reuben Foster hitting this woman.
Or dragging her out of the house, example.
I mean, that's compelling. If there's video of that, all the more compelling. But I've yet to hear that there is an eyewitness to the actual event, if it existed.
I think
that there's video that shows that he did it.
I think two things, when they come out, will give us a lot more clarity. One, the 911 call, and you can hear how you'll be able to hear her level of desperation relative to the event, and also her purported fight with her friend, and you'll be able to see the level of violence that took place and whether or not that could be what led to those two injuries.
I don't trust a layman's ability to parse out whether a 911 call is genuine or not.
Layman being Dibs?
Layman being a member of the jury.
Anybody.
Yes, a jury
layman
of one's
anybody
peers.
Anybody in this room, anybody out on the street who isn't incredibly skilled at doing that.
You're right, but it doesn't prevent them from going forward and charging and taking this thing to trial.
No, if they're going to go without a complaining witness, then they either are trying to squeeze his shoes in advance of an arraignment or of a trial, or they have evidence above and beyond this allegedly exculpatory tape. You know, maybe they could say, well, we've seen the tape and it doesn't match up with her injuries. So if they want to bring this tape in, we can blow that to smithereens. You know, it's about lawyers' tactics, and I'm not a lawyer.
Right.
So I'm speaking with my usual crystalline ignorance. But
and yet we can't get a mock draft from you.
Well, no, because that's not about knowing things. That's about pulling things out of your ear and going, hey, look what I did.
That's not crystalline ignorance. That's just conjecture and hyperbole.
No, it's nonsense.
Ratto, come on. Give us a mock by the end of the show.
Crystalline
please.
Nonsense.
Do you know how many people want to hear your mock draft?
Yes, zero.
No, lots
no,
of
no,
us.
No, this is not a rough estimate.
Hands just went up in the back room. Everyone here wants to hear your mock.
Mind.
People in the text line want it. People on the phone lines want it.
I got my
America
hands in the air.
America wants the Ray Ratto mock.
America deserves to die then. Because they're not getting one, and B, if that's what America wants, they're not focused on the right things. And you know, why does America get what it wants all the time anyway?
Because it's America. That's how it works.
Make America mock again, Ray. Mama.
Don't tread on me, Ratto. Prince in Oakland. Prince, thank you for the phone call. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing, man? Thanks for letting me get in, man. I think we should take Roquan Smith, because either way it goes, if he plays or if he don't play, we should have another Patrick Willis and Navarre Bowman. A lot of young 49ers fans don't get to see, even though that was just a couple years ago, it seemed like it went so fast, and I was just enjoying our defense and our beautiful Justin Smith, Alden Smith, and it was just beautiful. I just see another of that in the making, and even if he don't play, I think he will, but even if he don't play, I feel like we just need another Patrick Willis and Navarre Bowman. It just... we'll never see that again. That just it don't get talked about enough. Nobody talked about Patrick Willis enough for me personally. And I just feel like, yeah, man, he's just so aggressive, so fast, so he just, I don't know, he's beautiful on tape. And they contrast each other. If they were to play with each other, I think it'd be beautiful. Because Reuben bring the power and just Roquan bring the fast and agility. So Reuben won't have to chase everybody. Roquan could do that.
Good phone call. Appreciate it, Prince. Thanks for weighing in. There's a saying amongst talent evaluators that if you have a fast middle linebacker, fast Mike backer, defense looks fast. Slow middle linebacker, slow Mike, defense looks slow. You can see this with a lot of teams in the NFL. The Raiders at times last year looked like a slow defense, did they not? Plodding, methodical, late to the ball. Roquan Smith pops on tape. You don't need to be a trained evaluator to understand that the kid can play football. How well at the next level obviously remains to be seen. Go back and watch this kid play in the loss at Auburn. Watch him in the SEC championship game. Watch him in the playoff game against Baker Mayfield. I think it was the two-point conversion late. He made a big play. He's the type of guy where if you study, and this is the big mistake, it's not the big mistake, but the casual viewer follows the ball in professional sports. You watch Steph Curry bring it up, and then when he passes it to Clay, you follow the ball to Clay, and then you follow it to Kevin Durant. In baseball, you watch the pitch and whatever the camera shows you. In football, you watch the quarterback drop back, and then you follow the ball around the field. Evaluators aren't necessarily doing that. They're picking a guy on the defensive line. They're picking an offensive guard, and they're studying every play of that guard. They're not watching the ball because they don't care. They want to see what this player does. If you specifically watch Roquan Smith at Georgia, you see a kid who is flying sideline to sideline, consistently involved in plays, consistently causing disruptions. Whether or not Foster's available, whether or not he gets suspended or is healthy, a guy like Roquan Smith comes in, he starts from day one, and he makes some sort of impact. Whether or not he reaches his full potential, again, remains to be seen. But you throw him in there, and somehow Reuben Foster can put all this behind him, get on the field, and start producing on a consistent level, you are going to have the nastiest linebacking unit in the National Football League.
And I think that's the way this draft is going to go, Joe. Roquan Smith will be there at 9, and that's who the Niners will take.
That's where the risk is. The more research I did last night, the more I came across the fact that you're not hearing about Roquan higher than the Niners because some of the teams up there like that. They don't want to be linked to him. They think he might go sooner because he's deemed to be one of the more sure things. I believe it's Quentin Nelson, Bradley Chubb, Roquan Smith. Those are your three bankable players. If he's sitting there at 9, regardless of Foster, you like the pick?
Yes, absolutely.
Is that in the Dan Dibley mock?
That is in the recently, Ray, and I know you were excitedly asking me about this in the pre-show, or maybe that was me imagining it, one of the two. But
I heard it.
My mock draft is now just 1 through 10, because once you get past 10, it's a 2 now. But it is out, Ray, and I do have the Niners selecting Roquan Smith out of Georgia. At number 9.
Dan Dibley's Mock Draft 1.0, top 10 edition?
Yes, and there only will be a 1.0. There will be no 2.0.
A man with standards. I like that.
A man with a tea time, Coach. A man with a tea time this afternoon.
No, but if mock drafts are so much fun, why wouldn't you do 30 of them?
Because I like to make it special, Ray. It's kind of an annual thing. Just like my bracket, March Madness. I do one bracket. I don't do 15 different brackets. I want it to be special.
Okay.
And it is special. I'll share it with you during the break.
And it's up on the website, 957thegame.com?
I think it will be. We're making sure my spelling. Apparently, I had some spelling issues with my Quintons and my Roquans and my Saquons.
I see the group you're pointing at for your edit, and I'm not sure you're heading in the right direction.
No, we laughed.
Shout out everyone in the back room. Yeah. I love you, but...
Shout out Spellcheck, because we had a big laugh over the Quans, my inability to get the Quan right. You're my ambassador of Quan, Cody. Help me out back there.
Quan, me Brown.
That's right.
All right, so there's only one. Yesterday, in light of the fact that Ratto refuses to do one, we started kind of a thing around the office where it was like, maybe we should just have literally everyone in this building release a mock draft.
Yeah.
And the website could have like 77 mock drafts up on.
Perfect. I'm working on mine right now.
You're doing your top 10? All right, we'll reveal that later in the program. Will you reveal your top 10 at some point
Absolutely.
In the program?
Absolutely.
I look forward to that. And Ratto, would you like to be a team player?
No.
We're gonna get
I don't want to be a team. First of all, I'm out the door tomorrow. I have no loyalty to any of you.
Yeah, but down the road,
well,
we might like to have you back if Lowe's out.
What?
Down the road, if Lowe's out again, it's not like he's going to have perfect attendance for the next 10 years.
Oh, you'll do better than me.
Maybe we like having you here.
You'll do a deal with the zoo and there'll be a monkey here on Monday and a squid on Wednesday. I mean,
that is a good idea.
I know I'm done.
That would be a fun fill-in. Same level of takes and...
Put it out to the listeners.
But
would you rather have a llama or Ray Ratto? 888-957-9570. I'm going to pick Ratto.
A patch of gray liquid on the chair. That's it. We don't care.
John and Benicia, what do you think about the 49er Foster situation? John, good morning.
Morning, guys. It's funny because this last few minutes is the reason I love the show. This conversation has gone down so many rabbit holes. It's entertaining, and I love it.
It's a great program. We appreciate you acknowledging it.
No problem. In regards to Reuben Foster, you know, last few weeks, there's been a lot of stories coming out that his ex-girlfriend was trying to come out and recant. And I think, even though it's fishy, I think her coming out with her attorney yesterday is maybe her last saving grace trying to apologize, maybe. But if you go back to the incident and look at it, if he truly hit her that many times, that big of a man, you'd think there'd be even more injuries to her. There'd be marks on him, and there'd be more to it. In regards to the draft, I don't think that this is going to affect it at all. I think the Niners, like you've said all along, Joe, I think Divs, you know, there's so many holes. They're going to go with best available anyway. I think being in the NFL and their back channel, they know more, obviously, than we do in the public. So I don't think this is going to affect it at all. And, yeah, appreciate it, guys.
Appreciate the phone call. Jonathan, San Francisco. Jonathan, your thoughts on the Niners and the Reuben Foster situation. What's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. The whole thing just smells like the fish market, not in the morning, but in the afternoon. Mm. I mean, if I was John Lynch and the 49ers, I'd proceed on a notion that he's not going to be part of the team. I mean, this GF domestic violence thing may go away, but how about the gun charges? Man, if he's found with a full automatic assault rifle plus a high-capacity mag, that's a no-no in the state of California, especially with the things that's going on around us, right? So if Roquan Smith is available, I'd like that guy, man. I love that guy, man. I've seen him play. I've seen their game about four games of, you know, Georgia football, and that guy reminds me of Patrick Willis or Navarro Bowman. I mean, there's only two types of NFL players in this league, man. People that doesn't get in trouble and people that gets in trouble. If Vegas will put an odd on Foster getting in trouble, what would be the odds, Joe? It'll be minus 200 if he gets in trouble again.
Yeah, it would be significant. And thank you for the phone call. Interesting. Setting odds on people to get in trouble. Also, Ratto, early returns. Only 1% of precincts reporting, but the llama is getting quite a few votes over you. Next fill-in.
I have no skin in this game.
It's only 1% reporting.
No.
You could still beat the llama. I want you to know that.
I want to lose to the llama.
Who wants to lose to a llama?
Me.
A camel?
Platypus?
Yeah. I mean,
bacilli. I mean,
Antonio in Oakland. Antonio, thanks for the phone call. What should the Niners do at number 9?
You know, you have to have multiple linebackers to win. I mean, when the Seahawks won Super Bowls, or when they won the one Super Bowl, they had a trio of linebackers. You know, when the Carolina went to the Super Bowl, they had Thomas Davis and Luke Kuechly. You know, when the Niners were in their recent playoff run, they had Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman, maybe the best inside linebacker tandem ever. You know, the two best defenses this year, Vikings and Jaguars, they have excellent linebacker tandem. So we need to draft either Roquan Smith, who's there, or maybe even Tremaine Edmonds. You know, those guys are freaks. So that's what I think we should do at number 9.
Appreciate the phone call. If you draft Edmonds, I just want this out there. 6'5", freak athlete out of Virginia Tech, plays on the outside. The one thing to consider, I believe he's only 19 years old. He is a bit of a work in progress. That's not necessarily a knock, but if you draft Tremaine Edmonds in the first round, the fan base of that team needs to at least exercise a little bit of patience to let him develop. Taking a 19-year-old versus a 23-year-old, that's a big gap when it comes to processing information at a professional level. It's a big gap. Not to say it can't be done, but at 19 years old, just something for the fan base to be reminded of. If you think Tremaine Edmonds is going to come out week 1 and wreck shop and it doesn't happen, don't get disappointed in something like that.
And
it's
you're
just
already
that has to be out
in
there.
The situation where you're trying to work with Eric Armstead to get him from being a project, a younger player project, into being a reliable guy in your front line. So for that reason alone, I think they steer away from the player, but they might make the choice. But I think it's Roquan Smith is who they're going to take.
It'd be a good win. It'd be a win at 9. You can't come off Thursday night. We come on air tomorrow, and the pick at 9 is Roquan Smith. That's a positive check mark. I don't know what you want to call it, because I'm so anti-grades on drafts until kids actually play. But if you can land a talent like that, you've got to feel pretty good about your prospects, I would have to say. Because there's really not a whole lot you can say outside of that, but you'd have to be feeling pretty good. For the Raiders at number 10, how much do you think losing the coin flip could come into play for that pick? Now, Peter King and Mike Mayock yesterday, and Mayock is plugged in. I'm not saying he's perfect, but he tends to know a little bit about what's going on around the league. Mayock's NFL Network mock draft has Mike McGlinchey 10 to the Oakland Raiders, the offensive tackle out of Notre Dame, 6'8", 309 pounds. McGlinchey's a bit of a work in progress because at 6'8", he's a mountain, but at 308, he's a bit light. The frame needs to take on more weight. He needs to develop more strength. There's some upside there, but it is a weak tackle class, which is why he's kind of climbing boards. He's viewed as the best of a weak class, and if you miss on him and need a tackle, you're not going to be able to get one until later, and who knows if that's going to pan out. Not saying the Raiders do it, but the coin flip wouldn't burn them at all in that situation.
Right.
Do you see the coin flip coming back to mean anything tonight?
No, I don't.
It's good for the Raiders.
It's great for the Raiders, and it's interesting. Mike Mayock does color commentary for, wait for it, Notre Dame football. So he's obviously close to the player, Mike McGlinchey.
Used to. He's actually quite upset that he can't get analyst work on TV anymore. Doug Flutie now does
Notre Dame
games.
That's right. Last year, Flutie started doing it.
Mayock used to do them. He also used to do Thursday Night Football. He can't get it anymore. And he came out the other day and said he thinks it's unfair that players fresh out of the league with less experience and less talent at that stuff are getting these analyst gigs on TV. He's kind of quite angry about it. He was good at it. I don't know what ended up happening. I was lucky enough to have dinner with him at the Combine a few years ago. Mayock's a good dude. He's just filled with information. And he used to have it in his contract. I remember he told me the story that as soon as draft season ended, nobody from NFL Network was allowed to bother him for about 6 weeks. He would just go down to his house in Ocean City, New Jersey, and he would just hang out on the beach, and he would watch tape. And that's all he would do. He would just relax. And you were not allowed to call him. Now, he's so busy now, I don't think he can get away with that anymore, but that's just something that's out there.
And I think that's who the Raiders do take. And I'm anticipating when Ray's mock comes out whether or not the Raiders do take Mike McGlinchey with the 10 pick, because a lot of earlier mocks, not Ray's, of course, had McGlinchey closer to like 14, 15, right. 16. But when you think about tackle and how difficult it is to find one in free agency, how expensive it is, I could see the Raiders stepping up and maybe, quote, reaching and taking him at 10.
Roy and Martinez, what do you think about Ratto and the prospects of a top 10 mock?
Hi, guys. Listen, I got to tell you, I think the prospects are better for him to have a mock out than it was for me to try and get a phone call in since I got to the top 5 in the Baystar rankings. I mean, I'm telling you, those phone lines are busy, and all they want to hear is Ray's mock draft. And listen, Ray, I got a personal message for you. Nobody's grouchier than me when he can't get on the 95.7 The Game talk line, because it's the greatest morning show. And on the greatest morning show, you have to do the mock draft. Shout out Martinez Youth Baseball. Martinez out.
A lot of sensible, reasonable, and accurate points there, Ratto.
Okay.
Your response.
Let me roll up my sleeves. This is going to
get loose. Take your time. We're all family here.
One, I got on 95.7, and I found out what a profound disappointment it is. So his effervescence at getting on the air is misplaced.
Sadly, wow.
There will be no mock draft. Period. I gave you the parameters by which I would produce one. I've seen no cash.
Mm.
This is done. Time's up.
I could get you some Cheez-Its from the snack bar in there. I think they're about $1.09. I got a little money on my company kitchen account, if that'll help.
Well, then I think it's clear that...
Ratto, are you willing to negotiate?
Cheez-Its.
We'll start with Cheez-Its, but I'm sure Dibs has a little flexibility there.
No.
Maybe some beef jerky?
No.
Blueberry Pop-Tarts?
No.
Well...
Fritos with a Diet Coke?
No. I mean, if I have cash, I can get anything I want. I don't have to be limited to what the kitchen has.
But
cash
you
is
need
king.
A company card, company kitchen card.
No, you don't. You can just scan your ATM card.
Yeah. In and out.
Yes, I do it every day.
Really?
I'm pretty sure you can do it.
I tried to do
unless
it
I've just
work.
Stolen everything for the last 3 months.
Uh-oh.
I have to look into that.
No, I've checked my bank account, and they charge every day. Don't worry about that. The company kitchen card gets you the discount, though. Don't you get discounts here and there?
Yeah, you get a
is
few. Is
it ever
like,
anything
buy one,
good,
one
though? Is it ever on the Snickers?
See what happened, Ray?
Anything.
You won't do a mock draft, and now we're talking about snacks.
Mm-hmm.
It's a disappointment.
I'm not responsible for your societal failings.
You're exclusively responsible for this discussion.
Okay, fine. I'm responsible. Talk food all you want.
Get 2 Gatorades, get the 3rd for free.
How much pressure is going to be on Foster next year if he gets past this? Say, let's just throw a random number out there. Let's throw 4 games. Say he ends up getting popped for 4 games. That's the suspension he faces, and then he's back.
Wait a minute. Well, first of all, why are you assuming that the NFL is going to do anything? Because the NFL has failed at player discipline. Almost universally. I think they want to run away from as many of these as possible because they're so crap at it. So I think they might just tell the 49ers, do what you're going to do. because I don't know that Reuben Foster is a topic of great conversation outside the Bay Area. And the NFL tends to get involved when a story becomes national. This is not a national story, certainly not yet. And it has very little chance of becoming one. So the NFL is almost certainly going to just go, that's a local matter. And if the 49ers stay consistent to what they've been doing so far, is they're going to desperately find every way to keep him active and playing.
Is it just a local story?
I don't think so.
I've seen it on some sites like Pro Football Talk that covers everything.
Pro Football, they edit with a shovel. But you're getting way more talk about the Josh Allen high school tweets than you are the Reuben Foster.
Well, that's because that's a fresh story. That's a breaking story.
No, but what, yesterday at 4:30 wasn't breaking enough for you?
No, we've already known about the story. The sensational sense of the Josh Allen and the tweets that he has sent, subsequently deleted, that's fresh news. We didn't know about that. Reuben Foster, we've known about now for weeks, if not months.
But the recantation is yesterday's, is what made it fresh again. I mean, I'm telling you, that's how the NFL does justice now, because they don't want to do this stuff.
So you're right, but I'm sorry, Joe.
No, do your thing.
You look at the marijuana situation, they don't like that. And he has this gun charge that's not going to go away no matter what this victim recants or doesn't recant. And the NFL doesn't like gun charges either.
No, the NFL doesn't like bad publicity, and they don't like bad national publicity. Until they get a sense that Reuben Foster becomes a national talking point, I don't think they're going to touch this. I mean, Colin Kaepernick became a national story as soon as he sat for the national anthem in those exhibition games. And then all of a sudden, the National Football League was incredibly invested in that. They weren't invested in Eric Reed taking a knee. They didn't do anything to him. I mean, when their greatest skill, even now with their own teen ears, is that they can sense when something's about to become nuclear viral. This hasn't done that. It's a big deal here. It's a hot local story. It is not a hot national story. And that's why I don't think the NFL is going to bother with it until it becomes one. And I don't see any sign that it's going to.
Let me give you a hot take. Is it possible that because of this Foster situation, no matter what the developments, that this keeps the Niners off of Hard Knocks because of exactly what you're talking about? Because the NFL isn't going to want that story making its way into the national headlines. Is it possible that Reuben Foster did the team a solid because they don't want to be on Hard Knocks?
No. I mean, that's...
Ratto, let the take look.
I played the bacon. It's hot.
If you can't get a tan in 5 seconds, let the sun cook you a little bit.
That's nice.
Let it set with you.
No.
No, not at all. So you don't think the Reuben Foster situation could have any impact on Hard Knocks?
No. The 49ers don't want it.
It doesn't matter what they want.
No, but they, you know, that's about owner politics. If Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch go to Jed York and say, keep them away from us, and Jed York has throw weight in the room, and I don't know that he does yet, he could go to Roger Goodell and say, we're not interested, and we're really not interested. Then Roger Goodell has to make a decision. You know, is this what we want or don't want? I mean,
it'd be such good TV.
And
they're such a great candidate. They have every box checked.
No, they have one box checked.
All of them. What's the one box?
The pretty quarterback.
Pretty quarterback, appealing young head coach, appealing general manager who people can relate to because they remember his time in the NFL. You got drama with Reuben Foster. You're going to have a top 10 pick coming in. There's a lot to get excited about here. Adrian Colbert could make for that. I don't really know who he is, but it turns out I really root for that guy because he's got this great personality. Ratto, they're a fantastic play.
But they don't want it.
That's too bad.
No, too darn bad.
And Jed doesn't have the throw weight that you referred
to.
Jed's got a little bit more juice, I think, than people give him credit for. He got a stadium built.
That doesn't matter.
That's local juice.
Oh, that doesn't matter. No, come on.
Hey, Stan Kroenke got a stadium built.
Yeah. Guy's Walmart.
Shad Khan got a stadium built.
They just bought London.
He hasn't bought it yet.
Well, he's close to buying all of London. That's juice.
No.
Last I checked, that was a big city.
Here's
shout
the
out
deal.
To Prince and Princess the, on the birth of their third child. By
okay,
the way.
If
shout
they,
them out. Ratto.
If they
Ratto, the royalty,
the
shout them out.
They're not my royalty.
Yeah, but we're all essentially, you know, we're
what?
All on this planet together. Look, would you
really?
Rather have
I
the
have
American government
says we're not. So
if the aliens if the aliens landed today, let me ask you something. If the aliens landed today and we needed to send a couple out there to represent humanity, who would you be more confident with?
Ruben
President
Foster
First
and
Lady?
Roquan Smith.
No, you wouldn't. No.
Beyonce
you
and Jay-Z.
Prince William and Duchess of Cambridge Kate talking to the aliens.
No chance.
They're polished. Yes, you would.
Beyonce
you
and